Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Thursday, June the 20th. I'm your host, DA. NBA draft tonight, NBA free agency looming, and every day a different rumor to tackle. Let's start in Golden State, where the Warriors are wondering what happens after Kevin Durant becomes a free agent, and knowing that he has this Achilles tear that he's got to rehab all of next season. Is it possible that the Golden State Warriors actually don't watch him walk out the door, but instead trade him? How would it happen? Well, one report out there says that the Warriors would sign Kevin Durant to the 5-year max contract that they can offer, which is worth an extra year and $57 million more than anybody else can offer. Sign him to that, let him rehab at Golden State, and then a year from now, perhaps, trading him where he would end up signing. They get something in return, they don't let him walk out the door, and he gets the security of an extra year and more money. Could this happen? The guys on Joe Lo and Dibs break it down. 95.7 The Game in San Francisco.
This is a direct quote from Windhorst. One of the things that is being discussed right now is that the Golden State Warriors would offer Kevin Durant a 5-year contract, $57 million extra than he could get signing elsewhere. Let him rehab and then work with him to be traded, potentially to New York, potentially to somewhere else. It would be their way to sort of take care of him monetarily after what he just went through and also protect the franchise and get some assets. End quote. Brian Windhorst, NBA insider on ESPN's Get Up this morning, talking about the idea of giving Kevin Durant that 5-year, $220 million max, which is 57 more than he can make signing with any other team. Because roughly, any other max deal he takes outside of Golden State's about 4 years, 160. There's some change in there. So, give him that deal. Give him a year to rehab here with the Warriors. And then, should he want to leave, explore trade opportunities with various teams, work out the compensation so that they could come away with something. This is absolutely genius on three different levels. First off, you have to make this offer because it's very ugly optics. If you have him come back, he gets hurt, he wrecks the Achilles, he's out for a year as he heads into free agency, and you, the team that's been saying for more than a year, priority number one is to re-sign Kevin Durant. We love Kevin Durant. We want to keep him here. You get him back out on the court, he wrecks his leg, you end up not offering that deal. That just looks bad. Not saying it's right or wrong. It's not a matter of right or wrong. Right, it's just a matter of optics. It looks bad. So, smart move by the Warriors from a PR perspective. Take care of your own. Make the offer. Reason number two, it looks good. You have an entire year to continue recruiting him. An opportunity to get him to stay. Sure, we're going to help you find a trade. But, you know, while you're at it, why don't you come join me in this business venture? Why don't you take a look at this? Or, hey, we got this for you. Hey, found some doctors we're bringing in to work with you on this. A lot of things can be done to make him feel better about his time in the Bay Area. Maybe he thinks after a year, you know what? I don't want to take the risk of going somewhere else and starting all this up again. I just want to come back and play at Chase Center. I'm getting paid real well here. Things are going well. I got great teammates around me. Let's go make some noise. You got an entire extra year, and that's the shrewdness of this. You got the optics in part A, you've got the shrewdness in part B, and then part C, if he chooses to leave, no hard feelings. Everyone did the right thing. You go out there, you find a fit, you bring in some assets in return, unlike what we thought was going to happen. He was just going to leave in free agency and you were going to get nothing, and you come away with something for the future. Win, win, win. Downside, very minimal. Appears that the only downside is if he would stumble through recovery and that the rehab process would be beset by setbacks. And as a result, you wouldn't get the same Kevin Durant. No one would want him, and you'd be stuck with all that money on the books. But hey, it's still Kevin Durant, and that's the worst-case scenario. Modern medicine and doctors nowadays have a way of repairing these things, so yeah. I think that's a very small risk.
That's a small risk, and I think, like you said, he'll come back. But I think there's another downside that we're all of us would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge it. If they do that 5-year deal, and like you said, they woo him, and then they do the same thing with Klay Thompson. The downside now, Joe, you got to look at it, and it's a year. And in a year, who's going to be a free agent? Draymond Green. How would this affect? There's a cause and effect for everything. So we got to look at that, too, and say, if this happens, and if they offer Klay the same, what does that do with Draymond Green? Because both of those guys would be up in that year if they woo, and he says, I'm staying. How do you handle a situation like that? So I think that there's a lot of other things that play and come into effect.
It's an interesting theory, but here's what you have to also factor in. From a Warrior standpoint, it might make sense to get something back instead of just watching KD leave. But does KD want to go to a place where they've got to sell assets to acquire him? He's been used to winning. He's just had 3 consecutive years of a team going to the NBA Finals, and 2 of those when he was playing ended with championships. Let's say he would get traded to the Knicks. Does he want to go to a Knicks franchise that's already losing? The trade away a number of draft picks, players, or assets to then acquire him so that the cupboard's even more bare when he's there? I don't think so. And so while it sounds good in hypotheses, I don't think Kevin Durant would want to go to a place that has to give away a bunch of things that would help him win at that new destination. Could Zion Williamson be the next great superstar like a Kevin Durant? Many people think so. Dick Vitale, of course, covers college basketball. He's done a number of Duke games throughout the years. Pretty synonymous with that program. So just how good can Zion be? And Dickie V also getting up there in years, just re-signed a deal with ESPN. But does he start feeling the age? Here's the Mac Attack, WFNZ in Charlotte with Dickie V.
To me, he's a generational talent. How good do you think Zion will be in the NBA?
Well, I agree with you, man. He's special. He's absolutely special. Unless an injury curtails his career, the kid's got the whole package. He's got a gift in terms of his incredible jumping ability, explosiveness, size, strength, power, and on top of it, a terrific attitude. How anybody can take shots at this kid is beyond me, because he represents all that's good about a student athlete. He really does. If he had his way and it wasn't the system that existed, he had no choice but to leave school. I really firmly believe this kid would have been a 4-year player, because he just loves school. He loves his teammates. You know what really showed me a great deal of him last year? And I mentioned on TV in one of the games I was doing, you know, Scottie Pippen came out, and I could understand, I guess, Scottie thinking that the kid, you know, might get hurt, et cetera. But he came out and said he should quit. He should quit right down in the middle of the season. He's the number one pick. Why jeopardize getting hurt? And he had a great response. So I said, quit. I'm not quitting on my teammates. Yeah. I love what I'm doing. I love being here. I'm playing basketball. I mean, let's face it, he wasn't going to lock himself in a closet. He was going to be working out and playing, and injuries could happen. They could happen to anyone. That showed me a lot of character. So, again, all those people, man, you know, when you live in this world, and I'm a very sensitive guy, as many of us are. We don't like to admit it, but we are. And I'll tell you, there's some very cruel people who can't wait to really bury people. You know, I said in the interview here, and it's so true, when you get to be 80 years old, okay, and you're working, if I make a mistake on TV, if I call the kid's name wrong somehow, some way, and I work so diligently to not make that happen, more probably now than I ever did, because if I made a mistake when I was young, they simply would say, well, he slipped, you know, just yeah. Slipped. Now, if you make a mistake and you're 80, you're senile. You're washed up. You're done. I mean, it's really cruel, some people. But 90% of the people, Mac and T-Bone, are really good people.
2 guys that you know well, we certainly know them playing, on Tobacco Road, that we'd be interested in a trade-up are Coby White out of UNC and Cam Reddish out of Duke. What do you think of those guys? Do you think, because I think they both have star potential in the NBA. How do you feel?
Well, you know, I think Kobe is really going to be special. I really do. People have to realize his age. Same with Cam. You know, I think Cam was caught up. I really do. Nobody's ever told me this. He certainly maybe would not admit it. But I think he got caught up in the unbelievable success right early, right from day one, the impact of Zion and also of the kid R.J. Barrett. And I think he came in so highly rated, Cam Reddish. I think he struggled mentally with that, and he didn't get off to a good start.
Yeah.
I think that affected him. I know I was talking to one coach who asked me about it, called me, and we spoke, and I said, simply, I'm telling you, that kid in the middle of the first round, are you kidding me? I said, first of all, he's got great skills. He's got tremendous size for a perimeter player. Can't teach that length. And I really think the breakthrough for him is going to be now on his own, out there, performing. He's got talent. So does Kobe. Kobe's got great size. He can get to the basket. He can make shots. He can score. He's like a lead guard more than he's a point guard because he can score as well as distribute the basketball. I see Kobe White moving up. I see him as potentially a guy 7-8 in the draft up in that area. A Reddish, probably 9-10 in that area.
Yeah.
I would go a little higher with him. In fact, I look at the draft right now, and you're talking Charlotte. They go number 12, I believe. Is it right?
I'm
just trying my number here.
Yep.
I think they're number 12. You know, number 12, I firmly believe we got a draft that's very unique on paper right now.
While Zion is known as a great athlete, what we saw last year is that he's so much more than that. He understands spacing. He understands passing lanes. He understands how to work under the basket, his footwork, and he's coachable and hardworking and a great teammate. That all leads me to believe that Zion has everything that it takes to be a super-duper star. And as for Dickie V, hey, 80 years old, you start forgetting names, then yeah, I don't think it's awkward or unfair to say that that could be Old Timers Day, if you will, in the Dickie V household. I think that's all right. In Dallas, off seasons often revolve around trying to sign big names, dreaming of free agents coming to the Mavericks, and then watching them not end up putting pen to paper. Is that going to happen again this offseason? Well, here's NBA reporter Mark Stein, who joined the Ben and Skin Show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
History says that the Mavs don't get their way in free agency. So I think Mavs fans have to brace for that kind of summer. And if let's just say it was my cousin Willie Cauley-Stein, the only Stein in NBA history. Let's just say to play along that was the guy. They would probably have enough for a third, I would think. So maybe it's three players. But look, as I've mentioned to you guys a million times, they're going to swing big because that's what Cuban wants to do. And I think it is fair to say that if Kemba Walker doesn't go back to Charlotte, the Mavs have as good a chance of any to steal him away. If you said, name the team that Charlotte is most concerned about, it would not be the Lakers, it would not be the Knicks, it would be the Mavericks. So I do think the Mavericks will have their day and have their say with Kemba Walker, and maybe they're going to get him. But I don't know that let's just say it's Patrick Beverley and one or two others. I don't know that that's the worst thing. The Mavs their big move was made in February.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go after Porzingis as a restricted free agent. They were able to trade for him, and they were ready to throw a parade. I mean, they got their guy. They really got their guy in February.
No doubt. Okay, the story that was reported that has got me the most worked up over the course of this entire offseason, and really not even before the offseason, was, and look, we think you're the absolute best in the business. We say that on the air all the time. That Windhorse had this story, and it was so vague. It was like, the Mavs are up to something. And we're like, okay, wait a second. You can't just throw that out there. You didn't give us any details. What does that mean? Does he really know something, or is he just saying they're up to something, like every team is up to something? So what do you make of that story, and what are they up to, Steiny?
Wendy's one of the best, one of my best friends, and he's sensational. I didn't see that. I don't know where. It's hard for me to kind of react to something that I didn't see or read, and I don't really know the context of. I'm going to guess that was not the only sentence of his report. So I don't know what else he said, but the Mavs are always up to something.
Right. That's kind of what we said.
Why are you scared? You should be glad. Imagine rooting for one of these teams that's never up to something. That's when it's time to... that's when it's time to panic.
Yeah. I just, you know, you were talking about how the history says the Mavs will, yeah, I'm paraphrasing, but history has not been kind to the Mavericks in free agency. But when have they had Luka and Porzingis, those types of talents? And we know that these big names like to group up with other superstars.
Benny Sana, come on, we've already covered this ground in my last 17 Ben and Skin appearances.
Let's go!
It's too soon to expect those guys. Those guys are not yet attracting other players. It's not like LeBron and AD teaming up. It's just not. They're both young, and they're foreign, and it's not fair to them. And I know you love them both like they're your own children, but it's just different. It's just different. They, you know, Luka will eventually have that status. I don't think there's any question. But he's only been here for a year. Top veteran free agents are not rubbing their hands together saying, get me to Dallas for that reason. They just aren't. It's too soon to say that.
It seems weird that the Mavericks have not been able to lock down these big-time free agents because Mark Cuban seems like an owner that a lot of players would want to play for. He's a guy that spares no expense making sure they're taken care of. They have been competitive, certainly in the recent past, and won a championship within this decade. And Texas has no state income tax. Warm weather, I would think that the Mavericks would be a huge player in free agency, but it's true. Every year, we hear about other teams that do not include the Dallas Mavericks. Last night, we had such a great moment in baseball. Max Scherzer, ace of the Nationals, was taking bunting practice the other day in the batting cage, and one got up and in on him, bounced off of the bat and into his face, ended up breaking his nose and giving him a black eye. Everybody thought that he would, of course, miss the start the next day, which was last night. Au contraire! Max Scherzer ends up going out there and throwing a gem with a big black eye. 7 innings of scoreless baseball, only 4 hits given up, and a win over the Phillies. What a gamer mentality for Scherzer. Here's the Sports Junkie as a 106.7 The Fan in D.C.
Well, you know who's been close to perfect lately? Max Scherzer.
Wow.
Quite a performance.
Heard some ridiculous last stats last night on the post game, and I have some numbers in front of me. His last 11 starts, he's got a 1.82 ERA with 102 strikeouts.
Right.
So people are wondering, well, how's it going to be? He broke his nose, has a black eye. Well, it's what he's been doing of late, because I believe in the last 6 starts, he has a sub-1 ERA.
Yeah, no, he's just been fantastic. And I don't think anybody should be really surprised, right? We know the kind of gamer he is. If he was good enough to go a day after breaking the nose, I thought he would pitch like he always does. And he did. He just did.
Yeah, he didn't hurt his arm.
He said afterwards that on a scale from like 1 to 10, the pain is a 0. From breaking his nose. So they've already got that figured out. Yeah, he looked banged up. He looked kind of awesome, actually, with the black eye and everything else. Oh, almost looked like he was wearing eye black.
He's the classic case of why you should completely disrespect, or mostly disrespect, wins and losses for pitchers. Because he's 5-5, and he's got a sub-3 ERA.
Right.
You think he's really he's a 500 pitcher? Of course he's not.
Now, I will say this. I've had my nose hit before. One time I was punched in the face and hit my nose, and it didn't feel much that day, but it bothered me for months.
Right.
For months. It was just tender to the touch. That sure. Doesn't mean that I couldn't have, you know, pitched a softball game or something, but yeah. it is
pitched
annoying.
A softball game.
I'm trying to give an equivalent.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, of course, your face is always sensitive.
It's
butt sensitive.
Anytime Max touches his nose, it's going to smart.
I believe we did a Junks TV bit where JP and I were boxing with headgear. JP
right.
Punched me in the face, like flush in the face, and got me like where the headgear wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think we took a flight like that day or the next day. And I think I was out of commission for a good 24 hours. I was a mess.
Right.
And I was getting punched with a boxing glove with headgear.
How long did it bother you, like to the touch?
I don't
just
know,
for
like a day?
Oh, yeah. Mine was for
months.
My nose
wasn't broken.
Yeah.
wasn't anything near broken.
Right.
It was just slightly touched.
Right.
Well, the bottom line is Max has been pitching his ass off, and there was a narrative there for a moment when he started the season not as good as expected that maybe he's slowing down because he's an older pitcher. Well, hasn't happened yet.
That was more your narrative. I never bought into that.
It was a possibility that some people will say, eventually it's going to happen. Eventually, he's not going to have a Cy Young type of year.
Right. I just don't think we're there yet, clearly. How old is my son? My son was asking me yesterday. 34. He's only 34. Although he will be 35 next month, late July, July 24th. He's still in his prime, clearly.
No, you're witnessing a Hall of Fame pitcher every time he goes on the mound. He's got unbelievable stuff. And for the Nationals, not only did he get the Scherzer win, they got a big Corbin win. Both pitchers went seven innings, and they'd been worrying about Corbin because his last three starts were disastrous. To get two wins of the Phillies, they didn't gain ground, really, on the Braves. That's for the division. But I had listened to the 5 a.m. flash with Pete Medhurst, and he pointed out, if you actually look at the wild card standings, they're just four back.
Right, right.
So they've found themselves back in the mix. Hopefully this will continue. They have one more with the Phillies, and then they have the series with the Braves.
Like I said, I'm not going to get too worked up until they get to 500. Well, they're only three games below 500 now. They're up to 35 and 38.
It's nice when each of your pitchers delivers four-hit ball on the same day, when you get that from Corbin and Scherzer.
And when you don't have to rely on that your helps. Poopy pen.
It helps a lot.
Well, Suero came in.
Better. Suero pitched well.
Doolittle did his thing. Yeah, at least in the second game. So yeah,
maybe they're figuring it out.
That's just a phenomenal moment and a great baseball moment for a tough guy on the mound. And for Scherzer to go out there and look like that big, bloody, bruised, black eye, and then to throw a gem like that to twirl a seven-inning shutout, man, that's a great scene. And that says so much about his competitive nature and ability to focus and really lock in. The silly side of baseball, thankfully it's silly and not tragic, is the stories that are now being reported out of the Dominican Republic surrounding the David Ortiz shooting. Now authorities in the DR say it was a mistaken identity, that Ortiz wasn't the original intended target. Really? That's what you're going with? Here's Mutt, Callahan, and Reamer on WEEI in Boston.
Ortiz weighs 100 more pounds than this guy. Different,
what do you mean?
Different
you
hair,
looks like?
Different body type.
What do you mean it's a stereotype?
It's not believable that anybody, yeah, whether
got, Ortiz is what,
$7,800 or $70,000.
That's
6'3 and 260.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way David Fernandez can be mistaken for this. No one believes it besides
I think
Kent.
It was Thornton, who's can be a funny writer sometimes, said it's like going to Disney and you're being hired to murder Mickey Mouse, and you just shoot some random tourist.
Was that his line?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And say, I thought it was, I mistook the two.
First for everything.
It's from behind. It's not like looking at David Ortiz's face.
Well, you know who you're looking at? The other guy, right?
Yes. I don't know that. Is that clear?
He can see Fernandez.
It's not crystal clear. Nothing is on that tape, on that grainy video, but isn't the other guy in his view?
Yeah, it's dark. There's a shadow of a doubt here.
And Ortiz is so much bigger than this Fernandez. You look at this
Fernandez
picture.
Fernandez is not wearing white pants. He's wearing black pants, correct? Is that from that?
It's
the picture
dark,
you tweeted out?
Tell.
Jeans. It looks like jeans.
Black jeans versus
Chris
white
Curtis.
Pants. Completely different.
Chris Curtis just tweeted out the side-by-side.
Yes.
On the Mutt Callahan Twitter account. Great. If
nice
you want to see.
Nice promotion.
It's the two of them. Dressed for a night out.
Their big cell phones
is what you would
out.
Have to wear. White pants with those very colorful shirts.
The bedazzled shirt.
And Ortiz appears to have his thumb painted.
Is that something you do? You
paint your fingernails?
Yeah, people do paint their nails.
Like a dark black fingernail paint.
Heterosexual
paint
males?
Sometimes, absolutely, yeah.
And they're doing a little toast. They're having a drink.
A toast to the evening.
Ortiz looks so comfortable. That's his element. That's what he likes
Ortiz
to do.
Ortiz is like on the end of the table. You figure Big Poppy would get in the middle. He's like the guy like pulling up on the side like, hey, you guys got any room
They
here?
Are looking at each other like
so
best
different.
Friends. They look nothing alike.
No, absolutely
Fernandez,
nothing.
Fernandez is about as dark-skinned as Mutt. He's,
yep. He is. No, that's a very good
He's
description.
He's
olive-skinned. Yeah. He has olive skin. He tans
and
very
David
well,
Ortiz
I'm sure.
is very dark,
yep.
very big, has a beard. Fernandez does not.
He has a huge earring.
Reamer's right. From behind, you could tell it's David Ortiz.
It's very obvious.
He's huge.
From behind, like two David Fernandezes, one David Ortiz. Yes.
Right. You would never go in there and shoot Ortiz and say, yeah, I think I got
him. You're doing it quick. They're sitting down. You're not looking at a still photo with
you
good lighting.
You have 13
it's a blur.
People outside talking about this, discussing it, guys in cars, guys
on scooters.
So it
was obviously confusing. That's a sign they were confused from the start.
Okay, I can't tell. I respect your contrarian nature. I can't tell. Are you serious?
We are going to inform formally that the objective of this attack was not David Ortiz.
Very convincing.
That's just a translator, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a translator.
It's not
yes.
the.
Well, they have a male attorney general. So attorney that's, general. That's not his voice, no.
Nay. Aldrin Batista.
No, that's the head of the National Police.
No, Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rodriguez.
Well, that's the police director.
Yeah, National Police
director.
National Police, by the way, have some stuff on them. Very, very upstanding organization. National Police of Dominican.
Yeah, those,
yes.
The locals that are quoted in the Globe story seem to really trust the local authorities.
One of the most corrupt police departments in the world.
Yeah, the authorities are definitely covering up for David Ortiz because David Ortiz is the most famous person in the Dominican Republic, and now we're going to act as though they thought he was somebody else who actually looks nothing like him? Yikes. Talk about a situation where Poppy put himself in a bad position by doing whatever he did with the mistress that he had down there, reportedly, and then getting himself involved with the wrong type of people. And now, oh, he wasn't even the intended target. They thought he was somebody else. Okay, so you just figure Elvis was somebody else. You think that Michael Jackson was just somebody else. You just figure Ronald McDonald, that's got to be somebody else. I mean, pretty identifiable for the most popular person in the country to be mistaken for somebody else, no? Finally, college basketball has a champion, Virginia Cavaliers, after losing as the one seed last year in the 16 upset to UMBC, followed up with a championship. But one great team that will be forever remembered as not winning a championship, Phi Slamma Jamma and the Houston Cougars, the Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler-led Cougars, who were unbelievably talented. Think about that, two NBA Hall of Famers on the same college team, and they never were able to win the title. Is that the best college team never to win? Well, here's Drexler, who joined 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit with Jamie and Stoney.
The Houston Cougars, that era, Phi Slamma Jamma, would you say is the greatest collection of talent to not win in the history of college basketball? I mean, you were there every single year knocking on the door, but for whatever reason, it just didn't happen.
Oh, absolutely, I would say that. And as you've seen many years since then, the best team doesn't always win.
Right.
But nobody had more fun. Nobody had more talent. And nobody surpassed expectations like the Phi Slamma Jamma team. Because we came out, the year we went to the Final Four, we were picked fourth in our own conference. So don't act like they knew we were going to be there.
Did you enjoy the 30 for 30 that they did?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. The storyline was a little, it could have been done differently, but I thought it was done well. The storyline should have been more about the guys who played as opposed to guys who didn't play.
Yeah, what was it, Benny Anders, who ended up, they found him here in Detroit somewhere, right? Wasn't that the guy?
Yeah, and Benny was a good guy. Really, you know, I didn't have a problem with it because hopefully it'll change his life, you know.
We're talking to Clyde Drexler, the Hall of Famer. He's the commissioner of the Big Three. The Big Three will tip off this Saturday night at the LCA. You can, of course, get down there and buy tickets at Ticketmaster locations. Or you can watch live on primetime on CBS Channel 62 here in Detroit starting at 8 o'clock p.m. You also, Clyde, do some work broadcasting for the Houston Rockets, so I know you're very well in tune with the NBA today. Stoney can ask the question that he wants to ask about the backcourt. I was curious your thought on where the game is right now. Obviously, there's a lot of commentary about how it's now being controlled by the players and the agents more so than the teams. Are you a fan of that, or as a former player, or do you think it's getting a little bit too out of control?
I think it's getting a little bit too out of control. It should be controlled by the teams. You can't let these agents get together and control your narrative of your franchise because you have to look out for all 15 players. You can't look out for one or two. And so you have to make your decisions and man up and not let these agents bully you around. But I never did like that, so I was never a fan of that brand of basketball. But at the end of the day, it's a good product. The players play hard. I like the way the playoffs have gone this year. Toronto had a great season. They deserve to win. The Warriors were injured, and obviously you can't beat anyone if you don't have the right players on the floor. So everything that happened this year, other than my Rockets losing, was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know how you top that. You have two NBA Hall of Famers, two of the greatest ever on your college basketball team, and you can't win a title. Now, to be fair, think about some of the championship teams that they ran up against in that era. That was specifically the Patrick Ewing, Georgetown, Hoya Destroya years, amongst others in the mid-'80s. That's when stars were stars in college basketball. But what a phenomenally talented and fun team Phi Slamma Jamma was, which is why we remember them 35 years later. That's going to be it. The Best of Your Sports Talk for Thursday, June the 20th. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.